2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Grant us, God, an ear to hear your word. Anybody can just come here and hear. But Father, unless your spirit is working, we will not be able to apply our faith as we hear, so that it will benefit us. Bless your people who are hearing of your word, that they may truly hear your word, and that their faith will grow. And with that faith, growing faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where we are, no matter what we do. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's so much things or stuff that we have in these verses, but today I have one purpose, and it will be clear as we go on. And let me start out by saying this: Christianity, our religion, is not primarily about what we do. Rather, it is about what Christ has done and what he has accomplished. And this is very, very important statement, because there are so many so-called Christians who view Christianity in terms of what they do, what they have to do. But when we study the Bible, that is not what we find. I mean, if think about this. No matter how much and how well we do, whatever that we do, if Jesus Christ, our Lord, had not died for us on the cross, and if he had not lived that perfect righteous life, then all of our works are in vain. They really don't matter. They are of no use. Who I am and what I am depend on what Christ has done and what he has accomplished. Who I am does not depend on what I do. Now, the world has different understanding. Of course, to the world, who I am is all about what I do. But that is not our religion, what we believe. Who I am and what I am depend on what Christ has done and what he has accomplished. My eternal reality is decided or determined by what he has done and what he has accomplished. Who I am in heaven forever and ever, and how I am in heaven forever and ever, is already determined by what he has done and what he has accomplished. It is about what kind of person did Jesus make us to be. Not what kind of person we would make ourselves to be through our efforts. The Bible does not tell you to do things so that you may be something. Bible tells you what Christ has done and accomplished so that you are already this kind of person. You have to understand this. Because if you don't, you will never figure out Christianity. What he did determines who I am and what I am forever. Thus, it is very important to understand and believe what he did and what he has accomplished. What is the true meaning of what he had done? What did he truly accomplish by what he had done? And there's so many ways we could approach this and try to understand more. But we will stick to what we read in our passage. And let's read verse 14. I know we started with verse 15, but let's read verse 14. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us." Having concluded this, what did we conclude? That one died for all, therefore all died. Now, this is very, very important concept that I insist that you must understand here. One died for all, therefore all died. Now, without getting into, you know, see, it says all died, so every individual in history died. No, the context is talking about the elect, the people that God has chosen. Jesus died, therefore we died also. Jesus died, therefore we died also. Paul says in other place, Galatians 2:28, he says this, "I have been crucified with Christ." Now, you know, in the beginning, when I started to believe, that was a long time ago, this kind of verse made no sense to me. Because Paul, how can he say that I have been crucified with Christ? What a liar. When Jesus was dying on the cross, where was Paul? Obviously, he was not dying with him. And yet, this is what he says, "I have been crucified with him." Huh? Not only that, Paul even says that even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So not only Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ," but he also says, "I have been resurrected with Christ." Do you get the point? What we are and how we are is determined by what Jesus did and what he accomplished. We are united to Christ, meaning that Jesus is our representative, and everything that he does as our representative. So look at what Paul is doing. Paul looks at Jesus Christ. Paul sees Jesus dying on the cross and he says, I die too. Paul sees Jesus resurrecting from the dead and he says, I have been resurrected also. And Paul sees Jesus ascending into heaven and he says, I have been ascended into heaven too. I too have ascended into heaven. And Paul sees Jesus seated at the right hand of God. And Paul says, I am sitting with Jesus Christ where he is sitting. Do you see what Paul is doing? Whatever that Jesus does, whatever he accomplishes, he applies to him, to Paul. This is Paul's understanding. But this is the Word of God. And we are Christians who believe the Word of God. Yes, it's not by sight. We don't see any of these things. But we see in His Word. We believe. Thus, we live by faith, not by sight. So when Paul sees Jesus living that perfect righteous life, Jesus never sinned. And Paul says, I lived a perfect righteous life with Christ. We are united to Christ. Not only he did all these things for us, he did them with us. Or rather, we did these things with him. What he did, we are able to claim as if we have done it ourselves. Otherwise, there is no salvation because we just cannot do it ourselves. But the good news, the gospel says, Jesus did it for us. Not only for us, but with us in our places. Now, what kind of person I have become because of what he did, his death and his resurrection? Do you understand what kind of person that you have become because of what Jesus has done? Don't think that you sit there thinking that I have to do something here. Because you just cannot. You're not able. No matter how much you try, you will never be able. But your faith is that Jesus has done it for you. See, to the world, this is nonsense. They actually hate this kind of concept. See, I have to do it so that I get the credit, so I will be exalted. And people will say, oh, look at what he has done. But that is not our religion. Actually, when we hear this, we're so happy. Because Christians do understand how sinful they themselves are and how unable, not able they are. Thus, by hearing that God has done it for us, it brings joy to us. But to non-Christians, they don't like this concept. You know, even when they talk about blessings from God, they want to boast about what they have done. And because of what they have done, God bless them. See, that makes, when they say, God bless me, what are they saying? They say, I have done something that is worthy of God's blessing. They want to exalt themselves. But true Christians, we do not do that. When we say God blessed us, we're saying we never did anything to deserve it, but God still blessed us because He loved us and He loves us. Do you see the difference? What kind of person I have become because of what Christ has done? What is my eternal reality because of what He has done and accomplished? The Bible answers this question in so many ways, but let us stick to our passage today. Verse 17. Let us understand what has happened to us. What did Jesus do so that what is my true reality now? You have to come to the Bible to understand and see what is our true eternal reality. It's not something that is visible. It is only the Bible that teaches us. Look, what has happened to you? It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, understand that you are a new creation. And you might ask yourself, when did that happen? I mean, obviously, we never saw our old self turning into new creation. Again, it's not something visible. You have to believe what the Bible says. This is why to non-Christians, our religion is brainwashing. See? You hear enough times than you think it is. Actually, they're the ones who are brainwashing their people. You hear enough times that there is no God and they actually believe it. They are brainwashed. But no, see, they will never say it like that. I mean, I don't know why they could say that to us and we cannot say that to them. It is so amazing. A new creation, which means you no longer belong to the first creation. Meaning this world. You are a new creation so that now you belong to the new world, heaven. Galatians 6 verse 14 puts it this way. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Do you understand? Jesus died on the cross. And what did He accomplish? According to this verse, that I now am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. Meaning, what does it mean to be crucified to something? It means that you're dead to that. What kind of eternal reality that our Lord's death on the cross accomplished for you and me, that the world and me is dead to one another forever. I mean, you know, it's okay that you choose not to believe, but it's going to be your loss at the end. You don't believe what the Bible tells you. Philippians chapter 20, See, people who kind of make funny faces, I appreciate that because you know the Bible. When I say Philippians 20, some people go, as if I didn't say anything stupid. Philippians, do not have chapter 20. Philippians 3, verse 28 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, physically we live here, but we do not belong here. Thus, we are not to live according to this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2a, according to NIV, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Do you understand who you are and how you are because of what Christ has done? That you are a new creation. Your citizenship is now in heaven. You don't belong to this world anymore. 16 of our passage says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." Did you hear that? From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. We cannot and must not recognize anything according to the flesh. Meaning what? According to this world. We cannot and must not do anything according to the standards of this world. The world does not tell us anymore. Or rather, we do not listen to anything that the world tells us what should be our standard or what should be our desire or our purpose. We cannot and must not do anything according to the standard of this world, according to the desires of this world, according to the purpose, what this world says we should have. What we do, what we say, what we think must not be according to the patterns of this world anymore. If you see Jesus according to the flesh, according to this world, then who is he? He is a radical rebel who has been captured and killed. He is a complete failure. This is why in the beginning, Paul has rejected Jesus Christ. According to Paul's worldly thinking at the time, the Messiah, when the Messiah comes, he will destroy Roman Empire and establish a worldly kingdom so that Jews will rule the world. According to flesh, Jesus Christ cannot be the Messiah. Thus, Paul went around and killed the followers of Jesus Christ until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. You and I, we too met Christ and we believe him, and thus we are in him. Thus, we cannot and must not see anything or anybody according to flesh, according to this world anymore. If we see ourselves according to this world, then we must conclude that we are losers. I mean, seriously, who are you in this world? What are you? Are you important? In the perspective of this world, you and I, we're losers. No, I'm not a loser. Yes, you are. Because even if you die today, the whole world will not miss you.
not think, oh, an important person has died. No, I don't think so. You're nobody. I'm nobody. I love it. Because if I'm somebody in this world, then I'm nobody to God. You are nobody in this world. But if you see yourself and other brothers and sisters according to the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished, then who are you? You are the sons of God, a royal priesthood of heaven, the kingdom of God. You are the bride, eternal bride of God. You know, I could go on and on and on with this. That you now sit at the right hand of God with Christ. In the worldly perspective, where are you seated? You are sitting on that, you know, pew in this lousy room, in a pathetic looking church with very few people. You know, worldly people will come in and see us and going, what is this? Pretty pathetic. But in heavenly perspective, where are you seated? You're seated at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. Do you believe? And do you see yourself and others the way that God sees, not the way that the world sees? Do you see who you really are in Christ? Question is, who am I in heaven forever? How am I in heaven eternally? What did Jesus accomplish? Because of what he did, what kind of person did I become? We must think, we must say, we must do everything according to that eternal reality from now on. Don't let anybody judge you according to the world. Ah, you went to that lousy college and look at the job you have and whatever. Why do you need to listen to that garbage? Who you are is not determined by what the world sees and world says. It's not even determined by your parents, whom I say to you in a worldly way. You are never failure if you are in Christ. Don't let anybody tell you that. But even if you're so successful in the world, if you don't have Christ, you are complete failure. You are the biggest true loser in the whole eternity. Oh, they don't judge me. They cannot tell me who I am or what I am and how I am. Give me a break. Why do I listen to that stupid things? Bible tells me who I am and what I am and how I am in Christ forever. Don't be brainwashed by this world. Who I am in Christ, that is our eternal reality. It is not our imagination, it is the truth. The truth that this sinful world will always reject. But brothers and sisters, do you see it? We cannot see and judge ourselves according to how this world sees and judges us. We cannot have our purposes according to what this world tells us what is important. We are dead to this world and this world is dead to us. What is my life? Do you feel content because you think you did something in this world or because of Christ? Oh, it's all about boasting. You know, what kind of school I went, what kind of job I have, and how much I make. Garbage. What are those things make you in heaven? You're not even gonna utter. Not even waste one breath talking about those things when you get to heaven. Completely. Nothing apart from Christ. No, but, you know, I had to do something, you know, so that people will at least say, oh, you know, he's an important person. You know, it's so important what how people see us, right? They have to tell us, oh, you're important. Oh, you have something. You know how stupid that is if you truly say you're Christian? Your value is dependent upon Jesus Christ, what he has done and accomplished for you. Your value does not depend on the value that this world puts on you. Don't listen to that kind of garbage. We're very, very serious about this. Because if you live your life according to what the world tells you, just don't do it. I was going to say, if you do this and then what. But just don't do it because, man, you're going to be the sorriest loser in the end. Oh yeah, the world might recognize you and they might give you whatever, but at the end, you're going to be the sorriest loser. What is my life? What is my purpose in my life? We must answer that question according to what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished for us. And verse 15 of our verse tells us that he died for us. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Do you hear it? Jesus died so that we no longer live for ourselves, but live for Jesus Christ. Do you hear what Jesus says to you? What is the purpose of the cross? Yeah, we could say that in so many ways, but here in this verse, he died for you so that you no longer live for yourself. See, that is so world. That's all the world knows. It's all about me. You know that secular trinity. I, me, and myself. That's all the world is all about. It's all about me. I live for me. Jesus died for you so that you may no longer live like that. It is for Christ now. You know, nobody's begging you to be a Christian. If you don't like this, you don't have to be Christian. Yeah, our church never begs anybody to be a Christian. You know, I don't know. These days, like, pastors and Christians became beggars. Please believe. No. We have something that is precious. Why we need to beg? No, we tell them the truth. We gotta let them know because we love them. We tell them, we don't beg, we tell them, and if they don't accept them, what can we do? But listen to what the Bible says. That you have become a new creation so that you no longer live for yourself anymore. This is who you are, truly who you are in Christ. Even if you do not reflect that in your life now, but it is still who you are in Christ. Because that is what Jesus has done and accomplished for you. Living for oneself, that is so this world. You know, like, I hear from you, you know, so this world. That is not how we are anymore. Jesus is our purpose. He is the meaning of our lives. For us to live is Christ. Just like Paul. He is the center. He is our life. He must increase and I must decrease. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, Paul says. Jesus is my life, and his life is my life. Our life is a participation in his life. As you come to his table, see those elements, the bread and the cup. Do you see it? Bread and the cup. Cup represents his shed blood. The bread, his broken body. Do you see it? Do you see how Jesus Christ, your Lord and God, lived not for himself, but he lived his life for you? Do you see it? I mean, how can you deny that he did not live for himself when he came here as a man, when you see what he has done for you? He recognized you not according to this world, but according to his word, his world. So when God tells you that he saved you so that you may no longer live for yourself, but live for God, he's actually inviting you to his life. That's how he lived. He did not live for himself. He lived for you. God is not asking you to do anything that he himself has not done for you. God is never unreasonable. He calls you to imitate him. He calls us to live now for him. And this is who we are already in Christ. You are already God's son who will live for him forever. This is the kind of person that Christ has already made you to be. Live as who you are in Christ. Not living for Jesus Christ is to reject who you are in Christ. It is to reject what Christ has done and what he has accomplished. And this we will never do. Come to Jesus Christ. Come. Let us come believing and confessing that we are his eternal bride who will love him and will live for his glory now and forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your son's life, for that life is our life. Oh, Father,
Let us truly understand that you died so that we may live no longer for ourselves, but that we may live for Jesus Christ who died for us. Let us understand what has happened to us. Let us understand the eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Let us believe who we are in Christ, and let us live as who we are in Christ. For that is we, who we are truly, forever and ever. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.